Hello, you're tuned into It's About Youth with me, Fei Kwan. International Youth Day falls on August 12th. It's a day dedicated to empowering young minds and highlighting the contributions that they bring to society. And we know that youth will shape the world that they are going to inherit in the future. But what sort of issues concern them at this time? Joining me on the show is Suhaila Muhammad, the president of University Malaya UNESCO Club, as well as Jester Chong, an undergraduate student in pursuing biomedical science in UM. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Now, on the topic of International Youth Day, firstly, I have to ask, what's the significance of International Youth Day to the both of you? And why is it important to celebrate this day in the first place? Suhaila, let's start with you.
All right. Thanks, Faye. You know, youth being vibrant and energetic, dynamic. So we want to celebrate the power, their potential, because we know that they have that ideas, and so we want to also acknowledge their contribution, and it's also in a way we want to show our appreciation to their achievement. For example, we would like to highlight on their involvement in the society, in the community, and not to forget also we want to have that create that platform where they can their voices can be heard. Yeah, and that include as well youth with and without disabilities, which I think will enrich more on the concept of International Youth Day.
Understanding the diverse group that youth are, right, and how much they can actually bring to the table. Justin, how about you?
Well, for me, it is significant because it is like a special day whereby we can empower youth, as it encourages youth to be brave and to voice out what they really want to see for the future of the country. And it's also a day whereby youth can also, I encourage, to organise activities that can raise awareness on the challenges faced by them to the society, so that the society can be more aware of what the youth have been struggling with in the country as well.
Okay. I'd like to touch on the challenges and the struggles you're facing a little bit later. But firstly, Suhaila, I understand that you are currently pursuing a PhD in special education. So from your research or from your experience, what kind of unique challenges are faced by youth with special needs?
Yes, they are facing unique challenges, as you mentioned. At the same time, prior to sharing the challenges, I would also like to highlight that the Ministry of Education here in Malaysia has really implemented or emphasized on the zero reject policy, meaning that no students should be left behind.
No discrimination.
No discrimination at all. And in fact, it's in the Act Section 28 in 2008, whereby no students should be exempted. So, but then again, of course, there will be unique challenges and limitations. Well, I would say in terms of education, there need to be more inclusive method, and as well as the accessibility for these learners, where they need to be given the opportunity to learn and to have the equal rights and quality education similar to their typical peers. And another unique challenges that they're facing is, where do they go right after education? Where will they head to? Employment. And we know how limited employment, even for learners, typical learners, it is limited, let alone those with disabilities. So there should be more awareness on how opportunities can be created for these groups of students. If they can't be given job opportunities, they could at least be trained to become entrepreneur. To be able to generate their income, to be able to live independently, so they can later on contribute to the economy of our country. And also, another unique challenges I would say is social participation. We know, from the research that I've conducted, I'm into performing arts for learners with disabilities. I could see that the communities love to watch performances. However, they feel that they shouldn't be given any emphasis on that. Why? I mean, we should have that work-life balance, and we should enhance on the quality of life for learners with special educational needs. So music, drama, entertainment, that is something that need for them to be given the opportunity to showcase themselves, to showcase their talent. So yes, in terms of that, social participation is another unique challenges that they are facing.
I think you raise a very important point there when it comes to being in the arts and culture scene. Representation really matters, right? And of course, allowing them to continue contributing to the economy. So then in what ways do you think International Youth Day can help raise awareness and, I guess, foster meaningful conversations about the importance of inclusivity and support and access for youths with disabilities?
That is a very good question. I think through dialogue, it can dispel misunderstanding or miscommunication. It can actually bridge the gap. Because ignorance is the key factor to this separation or misunderstanding on communities with disabilities and without disabilities. So dialogue can foster that. So back to your question on how International Youth Day can actually enhance that. We are planning for a really holistic approach where we have workshop, youth empowerment workshop, we call it, and we have panel discussion where they have they'll be given the opportunity to contribute their ideas and share their voices during International Youth Day. And apart from that serious activity that could be mundane and boring to some, we have also cultural performances where we invite one very talented youth, an Indian classical dancer. His name is Naranjan, he is watching. And he's going to perform also. And he's going to have that, give the vibe of how talented and capable learners with disabilities are. And we have entrepreneurship. We have entrepreneur youth with dyslexia who owns the Dyslexia Cafe. And he's going to be part of the program as well in terms of contributing his ideas and in terms of contributing food. For the
Important for Malaysians. Food is always a factor. It's very nice to hear the all these sort of programs that UMUC has organized for youths and the inclusivity, especially for youths with special needs. But beyond that, Jester, how about you? From your experience and from your conversations with your peers, what are some of the most pressing challenges faced by you and your peers?
Well, most of us would mostly talk about job employment, as these days companies would require us to produce a credential such as a diploma or degree. But the problem now that we are facing is that there's an influx of fresh grads with these credentials. So I think the challenge is that how we can stand out to our future employers so that we can show them that we are a valuable asset for their companies and that they would choose us instead of other fresh grads that are also applying for the same positions. And other than that, I think internship wages is also currently being debated right now. From the company's perspective is that they have to take extra time, management time, whereby they have to review, plan, and also transfer knowledge to the interns, which they think it might be quite a tasking thing. And as well as they might think that interns do not have the same expertise as a full-time employer, so why is that they need to pay them? Yes, and also interns might be there also to fulfill their credits for their coursework. But at the same time, we need to acknowledge that interns also do have other responsibilities, such
it's
as
a full-time job.
And it's also due to living in Malaysia is like the high cost of living is also one of the main factors, and that they have to pay for rent, transportation, and food, and maybe other necessities. So therefore, it is very difficult for them if they have like unpaid internships.
So the viewpoint from you and your friends is really that interns should be compensated for the work that they put in, also because they are also dealing with the high cost of living, right? And honestly, the unpredictable labour market and the lack of job opportunities, because as you said, diplomas and degrees are now a necessity rather than something that makes you stand out. this is an ongoing issue. It's often brought up by young graduates right. such as yourself. Are there any other potential roadblocks that you might be concerned about as you join the workforce, especially in your field of biomedical science?
So as a biomedical scientist in the future, one of it would be about salary, because my peers and seniors who have already been in the workforce, they would say that our professions are usually underpaid because the conception of us that we would ended up in working in the laboratories. So, and in Malaysia, working in laboratories is like, the pay is a bit low and it's like to consider it's like underpaid.
And those in the research field, you're not really
in the research field as well, it's like underpaid job but with a lot of responsibilities. And another challenges would be lack of practical skills. Like for me, during my first year, it is the pandemic. So a lot of us will have to sit at home and go through the online learning. And because of this, we will miss out a lot of the hands-on practical lessons, whereby it's very crucial for us biomedical scientists in terms of our skills. Yes, and even after the MCO or we are back to the normal, the university did try their best to replace those hands-on classes, which I'm quite very grateful for. Despite that, I'm still a bit like concerned whether my skills is good enough for the company, as optimizations of the laboratory techniques is quite challenging, even though for undergrads, masters and PhD students as well.
Jester brought up a very important point, they're being underpaid. Having a degree in biomedical science, you have the potential of being underpaid, let alone those with disabilities. Some companies tend to have that, okay, let's hire this person and fully maximize his effort and time and pay them less, because they're assuming that this group of people don't deserve the pay just because of their disabilities. So I think that's also a very important issue that needs to be highlighted, kind of the being underpaid, regardless of how they contribute to a company or an organization, they should be treated equally.
I think once again coming to no discrimination, the point of no discrimination, right? And I think, Jesse, you also bring up a very important point about how there is a new influx of fresh graduates who are facing a brand new problem where they learned a lot of things in theory and online in during the pandemic, but maybe weren't given the opportunities to apply those things in practice, like in laboratories. I'd like to talk a little bit more then now, shifting towards about solutions. We have talked about the barriers and challenges both by youth in the employment, in terms of employment, and also youth with special needs. So Haila, how do you think we can better create a more welcoming environment then for such a diverse group of young individuals?
Right, Faye, I strongly believe that there should be inclusion should be emphasized on more awareness, and this I watched recently a TED Talk video by Joseph Schneider Weiner, and he's an advocate for special needs. He's on wheelchair, he's physically disabled, and he mentioned that nothing about me without me. So straightforwardly, he's saying that whatever decision or that whatever that is meant for the persons or community with disabilities, it should be included them in the policy making or decision making. Or we should have them in the discussion, or at least on their input on how they can be they can receive better opportunities for themselves, and also fostering a great education and emphasis on how we need to have that no segregation between typical students or students with disabilities. They should receive equal attention. And when it comes to education, of course, teachers played very pivotal role in it. And there's an organization called Simeosan, mm-hmm. if you have heard of it, which cater to teachers in Southeast Asia, and it's based here in Malaysia, right. where they train teachers with special needs in capacity building in terms of many various types of training as well as research. So okay. yeah, mm-hmm. and so we need to have more bodies or organization like this to play their roles mm-hmm. In creating that educate the community on how important or how significant it is for the opportunity to be given.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And it just goes to show how many players there are in the ecosystem, right? Everyone plays a role towards contributing and having a more equal platform for youths. Mm-hmm. So you've talked about youths ensuring that youths with special needs mm-hmm. have a seat at the table. But beyond that, and from your perspective, what are some key areas that we should be focusing on to ensure more meaningful participation of young people?
Well, key areas that we should be focusing on, definitely it has to start with education, mm-hmm. having them, giving them that opportunity to voice what they have to say. And okay, for International Youth Day, let's go back to International Youth Day, yeah. where we have that opportunity or that workshop, for example. We have the day where it can give them the day where they can actually voice out and share their views. Mm-hmm. Because for learners with disabilities, for example, we know how limited opportunities that they receive.
Yeah.
And especially if they are in the area where they don't have their parents' support mm-hmm. or they are into stereotype and they are being stigmatized with their capabilities. So mm-hmm. the key areas is more on the awareness as well, where we need
educating the public.
Educating the public, exactly. Mm-hmm. I think like what Malaysia is currently heading towards that, and I can see that there is already a lot of improvement. Mm-hmm. But of course, we need more community to play their role.
Yeah.
In a research where I did recently on performing arts, for example, where I involved the community, and I presented a paper in Indonesia recently, and it goes without saying that how community is very critical into contributing to that change. Mm. They are the one that will drive the positive change. They will be the one who will elevate the life of special needs community in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that those are the key priorities that we need to highlight on.
Yeah. Ensuring we have the ability to adapt and being more open to a diverse group of individuals.
Exactly.
And also, well, International Youth Day is only one day in a year. Mm-hmm. But as you said, youth have a lot to offer and their contributions are year-round. Jester, how would you like to see the value of youth being better heard, or the voices of youth being better heard throughout the rest of the year?
In my opinion, I think youth, maybe they can organize a forum discussion, maybe with public figures or any professional figures,
mm-hmm.
Maybe through a podcast or do videos that can be spread through the social media, mm-hmm. as well as they can have conferences in universities. I would think that this would promote the intergenerational understanding between the adults and the youth, so that the adults can understand what youths are facing and what youths are hoping that the countries can change for the better.
Yeah, and that's a big thing, bridging the gap.
And bridging the gap. And also maybe the youth can understand from the point of view of the adult what they see through their experiences, especially in Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing I would like to see if youth-led or youth-focused non-governmental organizations could collaborate with these companies to organize activities that are more related to youth mm-hmm. and also youth development, so that more people would be interested to participate in those activities and also mm-hmm. at the same time be more aware mm-hmm. of the struggles faced by youth.
Mm-hmm. More engagement with the young people and ensuring that they're not really left behind.
Yeah.
Social network plays a very critical role in this as well. Yeah. You know how the youngsters are into social media and stuff. So we can utilize that platform for the betterment of our education and to educate them in a very light way, yet very impactful.
Yeah.
Yeah, through music as well as through
podcasts.
You know that we've organized International Youth Day despite the lockdown, despite the pandemic, which was back in 2021, which was entirely online, right? We had that online. And we invited our speakers from Thailand as well. We are local speakers. We are from Southeast Asia countries. And we had around 200 youth joining us online from all over the countries, and it was really engaging, right? Despite being online. So the upcoming one is going to be even better because we're going to have more interaction and we have more platform where they can actually share with us their concern.
So the upcoming one is physical or is it a bit more hybrid?
Yeah, it's going to be physical entirely. We wish we could have hybrid so more people can also benefit from it. Well, we still have time, so we
have some time. You have a few weeks more to see if you can do that.
Thanks, Faye.
But International Youth Day is on August 12th. It also coincides with our state elections. So I suppose before we wrap up, I just want to ask the both of you, any issues that you hope to see being raised or prioritised leading up to the state polls? Chester, what's up with you?
For me, I think I hope to see that there's the future state, the policymakers or the politicians might have some measures, come up with some measures on flood mitigation.
Right.
Yeah, especially in Selangor, some parts of Selangor, Penang and other parts of the states, it's always plagued by floods. And I hope that they can come up with solutions to improve the drainage system and as well as to have better disaster planning. With that, I think that we can reduce the citizens' burden as we can reduce the damage that occurred due to the flood and as well as to improve safety of the citizens as well. And another thing that I hope that they can raise is to combat the period poverty. Period poverty is not really spoken much in
a
society.
It is a very pertinent issue.
Yes, because affected women, they would miss out a lot of opportunities such as education and also generating income as they need to take leave from work and also skip schools just to stay at home during their cycle. And also is to improve these affected women's health too, as they are much more prone to infections. And another thing I hope that the states can do is to help the homeless people and also drug addicts so that they can get a better situation in terms of living conditions. They have a shelter and they have food, and so they can earn an honest living. And I think this would benefit a lot of society as well.
Targeting quite a lot of groups there, from drug addicts and homeless people to women and girls through period poverty, and then society as a whole, of course, who are affected by floods. So Haila, how about you? Anything you'd like to see?
Well, it's more on the underprivileged learners, particularly learners with special educational needs or disabilities. We know that for a fact there are still learners with disabilities who are not attending schools due to physical infrastructure or accessibility issues. So I would like
affordability.
Yes, as well. So we need to. I'm hoping that more emphasis should be given on these learners with special education because they do deserve their education. And if not emphasis on academic, it is still okay. They still need to have that opportunity for socializing, for their emotional growth, right? So I would say opportunities for them as well as more on teacher training. Because teachers are the I would say they are the one, the main player in education. Mm-hmm. So teachers need to have the full support in terms of them bringing up, because they are the one who's going to, they'll be driving the future generation with mm-hmm. them. So I think, yes, education, equal opportunities, and then it will lead to SDG 4 mm-hmm. in quality education. So we need to have that. Because SDG, it's all about long-term initiatives, or what we do now will be, what will the consequences be? What will the impact be mm-hmm. for the future? So we need to have that as our guideline. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the show. It's been a pleasure speaking to both
of you.
I've been speaking to Suhaila Muhammad and Jester Chong. You've been watching It's About Youth with me, Fei Kwan. Thanks, and see you next time.